Welcome to the Dr. John Day Show, a cardiologist's guide to real food, real living, and real happiness. Are you struggling with losing weight, fatigue, depression, or conditions that have you on medications? Is your health good, but heart disease or cancer run in your family? Most medical conditions are reversible or preventable. There is a better way to live. Let Dr. Day help you to feel younger today.
Hi, this is Dr. John Day. I have a quick disclosure my lawyer wants me to do before we start the show. On this show, I share general information, not medical advice. I am not your doctor. And do not self-diagnose or treat based on anything you hear on this show. Now that we're done with the disclosure, let's get started. Hi, this is Dr. John Day, and welcome to the Dr. John Day Show. This is podcast number 16. Can you die from lack of sleep? 10 ways to cure insomnia without medications. Let me tell you a little bit about my insomnia struggles. I am a recovering insomniac. Since my college days, I have struggled with falling asleep. It was especially bad before a major test. I remember the night before I had to take the MCAT, which is the medical college admission test. My whole life, I had dreamed of becoming a doctor, and I knew that my chances or my life's career, my life's purpose, my life's mission all hung on getting a good MCAT score. It was 2 a.m. I had been laying in bed for 4 hours and still could not sleep. I gave in and took a Benadryl or an antihistamine. An hour later, I still was not able to fall asleep, and so I took a second Benadryl. Finally, I fell asleep. It seemed like just a split second, and then my alarm went off at 6 a.m. My head was in a fog. I thought I would have to look for a new career, as there was no way I would do well on the MCAT, and there would be no way I'd get into medical school. Somehow, I did well enough on the MCAT to get into Johns Hopkins Medical School. But medical school was not much better. As a Chinese major coming out of college, I was no match at Johns Hopkins for all of my classmates in medical school who had a PhD behind their name in one of the sciences. It was an incredible amount of stress trying to study so hard to make up so much lost ground as a humanities major in college. And because of all this stress, I couldn't sleep at night. I started taking an antihistamine every night to help me get to sleep. Well, things just got worse in my residency and fellowship training, being paged all night long with erratic sleeping schedules never allowed me to get into any type of regular routine or rhythm with sleeping. I became hooked. The Benadryl, antihistamine, and over time I also added melatonin. It was a habit that I would continue for the next 20 years. To counter the effects of grogginess from an antihistamine and melatonin in the morning, I would start off my day with a Diet Coke. Is it any wonder why I was tired all the time? And the crazy thing is that it just never occurred to me that this could be the cause of my own lack of energy. By my mid-40s, I not only had trouble falling asleep, but also struggled with staying asleep as well. It seemed that if I was not careful, I had to get up in the middle of the night to pee. Once this happened, you know, then it really was over. There was really no chance of getting back to sleep. At age 44, with my health in shambles, many chronic medical problems, and on 5 medications, I decided it was time to turn my life around. I really thought that I would never again be able to sleep without medications. Well, how important is sleep, and how critical is it even if we miss just 1 hour of sleep? I was recently invited to speak at the annual scientific sessions of the American College of Cardiology meeting in Washington, D.C. While there was a study looking at the impact of losing even just 1 hour of sleep from daylight savings time. This was a study that really caught my attention. And they looked at 42,000 recent heart attack victims in Michigan. And from these 42,000 people, they found two very interesting findings. One, your heart attack risk is increased 24% on the Monday following losing just 1 hour of sleep due to daylight savings time. Wow, daylight savings time increases your risk of a heart attack by 24%. In stark contrast, your heart attack risk is decreased 21% on the Monday after gaining an extra hour of sleep when we go off of daylight savings time in the fall. Just 1 hour of sleep can have such a huge impact on our heart attack risk. And if just 1 hour can have such an impact, is it any wonder that jet lag and night shift workers have been shown to be at significantly higher risk of heart disease and other problems? Well, just how important is sleep? While we are sleeping, our body is busy working to repair and prepare our bodies for the next day. In the brain, memories are processed and new brain connections are made. For the cardiovascular system, it is when repairs need to be made to prevent heart attacks. Sleep also ensures that we have the proper balance of the hunger hormones so we don't overeat the next day. Indeed, sleep deprivation can increase your risk of being overweight by 40%. If you don't get enough sleep, you may become obese through no fault of your own. Sleep really is critically important. How much sleep do we need? Adults need at least 7 hours of sleep for optimal health. Based on a study which averaged the results of 17 studies involving more than 1 million people, they found that short sleepers, or those who sleep less than 7 hours, are 38% more likely to die young. Conversely, long sleepers are also at risk. From the same study, long sleepers were defined as people who sleep 9 or more hours a day, were 23% more likely to die too soon. So it seems that less than 7 hours and more than 9 hours increase your risk of dying. That sweet spot seems to be somewhere between 7 and 9 hours of sleep each day. Is it okay to take sleeping pills to make sure I get enough sleep? This is a dangerous trap to fall into, and one which can lead to dependency and an early grave. For 20 years, I had horrible insomnia. I became physically dependent and also mentally dependent on two Benadryl tablets as 50 milligrams of diphenhydramine and a melatonin each night, or I just couldn't sleep. Of course, there were many reasons why I had insomnia. My diet was awful. I was constantly awakened at night while being on call as a cardiologist. My stress levels were sky high, and I was drinking Coke or a Diet Coke through the day. Fortunately, I have now been off of sleeping aids for several years after completely changing my life. Just how dangerous is one little tiny sleeping pill? In a study of 10,000 people taking sleeping pills, they found that those who took sleeping pills were 5 times more likely to die prematurely. Even taking a Benadryl, something as simple as an over-the-counter Benadryl, diphenhydramine, or another sedating antihistamine, in this study, and taking this even less than just 18 times a year, so taking a Benadryl 18 times a year, which is like just a little bit over once a month, just taking it that small amount of time tripled your risk of dying before your time. In another study of 34,000 people, taking a sleeping pill doubled your risk of dementia. Clearly, these sleeping pills are something that should be avoided if at all possible. When evaluating sleep, it's also important to look at, is sleep apnea a problem? For sleep to be effective, it has to be rejuvenating. Too many people in this country suffer from sleep apnea. Sleep apnea is where people snore loudly at night and then suddenly stop breathing. This is primarily due to being overweight or having a neck size greater than 17 in a man or a neck size greater than 16 in a woman. People with sleep apnea might think they're sleeping well at night, but in reality, they're being awakened hundreds, maybe thousands of times through the night subconsciously, And this just destroys their ability to rest and their body to heal themselves. How do you know if you have sleep apnea? Just ask your spouse or a sleeping partner. They can always make the diagnosis. They'll tell you you snore like a train and you may stop breathing for 20 or 30 seconds. Sleep apnea also increases your risk of high blood pressure, heart failure, heart attacks, cardiac arrest, and dying too early. So if you think you might have sleep apnea, it's time to get tested. Your spouse can tell you if you may have it or not. For the average person, if you are just 20 pounds overweight, that's a BMI of 28. We talked about neck size of 17 in a man or 16 in a woman. There's a 41% chance that you have sleep apnea. If you have sleep apnea, you need to get it treated and keep with that treatment, which is typically a CPAP or a mask over your mouth or nose while you're sleeping. Keep with this until you can get the weight off. Once you get the weight off, work with your physician and see if maybe you can get off of your CPAP treatment. I have found that most cases of sleep apnea are reversible with lifestyle changes. So let me give you my 10 ways to cure insomnia without medications. Fortunately, things are much better for me now, except for rare cases when I'm traveling between time zones, especially international travel. I no longer need to take anything to help me sleep. I find that as long as I can follow my 10 rules, and I'm going to list for you below, my sleep is generally very good, and I can get my recommended 7 hours of sleep, or at least get pretty close. Number one, have a strict routine. Go to bed and get up at the same time every day. I realize this can be hard, especially in our modern day life or if you're traveling, but it's probably the most important step to good sleep. It can also be hard if your spouse or sleeping partner may have a different sleeping schedule than you do. For me, I try to go to bed at 10 p.m. and get up at 5 a.m. I try to start winding down about an hour before bedtime. Dim those lights, stay away from TVs and electronic devices, and you'll find that your sleep is a lot better. Number two, avoid all stimulants after noon or 12 o'clock in the afternoon. Did you know it takes 4 to 6 hours for half of the caffeine that you put in your body to work its way out? Thus, if you have caffeine at, say, 12 p.m., then if you're looking at a 10 o'clock bedtime, 25% of the caffeine you took at noon is still in your body. That's two half-lives. Having that cup of coffee after dinner is even worse. It's not just caffeine, but any stimulant, including nicotine. Even chocolate after 12 p.m. could set you up for a sleepless night. Number three, don't eat or drink 4 hours before bed. If you go to bed with a full stomach, then not only could you be kept awake from acid reflux or the grumblings of your digestive system, but you can also pack on the weight. The only thing your body knows what to do with late night calories is to store them as fat. Also, if you drink right before bed, odds are you're going to have to get up in the middle of the night to use the bathroom. Number four, have a dark, cool, and quiet room. This seems intuitive, but so often we neglect this one. We keep our cell phones by our beds, flashing electronic lights keep us up and interrupt our sleep. Trust me on this one. I know I am an electronic junkie. Keep it cool. Eliminate all traces of light. That's all traces of light. Make it quiet and you will sleep like a baby. Number five, be physically active outside during the day. Physical activity allows us to work out our stress hormones so they don't keep us up at night. Just be careful not to exercise right before bed, as that could keep you up at night as well. By exposing your body to natural sunlight, it helps to regulate your sleep-wake hormones. If you work in an office where you don't get natural light, try to find as much natural light as possible. Get outside during your lunch break. Request a window, whatever it takes. Our bodies were designed to work outside during the day. We need to keep our day sleep cycles in check. Don't fight nature. Number six, be smart with naps. If you need a power nap during the afternoon, that's okay. Just keep it short. 5 to 20 minutes is enough. A long nap in the afternoon is a surefire way to keep you up late at night. Number 7, make the bedroom just for sex and sleep. Don't bring your work into the bedroom. Also, don't watch TV in your bedroom. Train yourself that the bedroom is only for the S activities, sex or sleep. If you condition your mind, it will make it much easier for sleep. It will be easier to disengage from work. It will be easier to disengage from your problems. It will be easier to disengage from any potentially upsetting news you may have watched on the TV just before bed. Number 8, music and meditation techniques. For me, I can go to sleep so much faster with music. I set my iPhone to turn my music off in 25 minutes. I generally never even make it to the second song, and I'm out. Relaxation CDs or MP3s can also be helpful. For some people, listening to the ocean or the sounds of rain, whatever, puts them to sleep. Number 9, manage your stress. Laying awake at night, thinking about everything you have to do, is a great way to stay up. I find that writing down everything that's on my mind helps to clear my head and allows me to sleep. For others, deep breathing techniques may help to put them to sleep. Find what works for you and do it consistently. Number 10, review your medications. It is possible that the side effects from medications are what is keeping you up at night. Perhaps taking your medications in the morning or switching to a different medication may allow you to sleep better. If you think that this could be a problem for you, please discuss it with your physician. Maybe you can change or eliminate medications that might help you sleep. What have you found? Do you struggle with insomnia? Are you like me, who've been battling this for years? If so, what's worked for you? What tips or tricks have you come up with that help you sleep? I'd love to hear from you. Please go to my website, drjohnday.com. Leave me a comment. Let me know what works for you. Please share this with others. As we get the message out, we can help so many more people who also are suffering from many of the challenges that we face here in our modern society. Sign up for my newsletter. You'll find things there that you can't find anywhere else on my website, podcasts, etc. And please, if you can, leave me a review on iTunes. That helps to allow others to find this podcast so that we can help more with this message. Thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to seeing you with the next podcast.
Thank you for listening to the Dr. John Day Show. Now is the time for you to live better. Go to drjohnday.com to sign up for Dr. Day's newsletter, daily success tools, and more. It's never too late to change.